Amen. Amen. Let's go to our launch pad. John 3:16. Out of the Message Bible, it reads, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And we can never forget that that's our mission. That is our ministry, to put the world right again." Now, several months ago, I taught a series called Overcoming Adversity. And I said, one of the reasons I guess I'm teaching it is that God is letting us know that stuff is coming and that we have to be ready, because he doesn't want us to be surprised. He doesn't want us to be ill-prepared. See, one of the characteristics of the devil is that he comes in many different ways. And he comes in many different people. And sometimes, see, that's why I believe Jesus said your enemies will be those of your own household, because the devil will get into members of your household, and because they're so close to you, it's so devastating when they act up. See, so we have to understand these things, and the reason the devil does it is because it works. I mean, that's the only reason. Folks would used to wonder. There was this guy once that wrote an inappropriate, well, he signed a letter to my wife inappropriately as his daughter's teacher. He just signed it inappropriately. And I had to let him know that ain't happening here. But I understood why he did it. He had a level of success doing things like that. And so we just let him know that there was going to be no success here. And if he continued, he had more things to concern himself with than bankruptcy. I mean, all right. But he just does those things because it works. And we get used to him coming in a particular way, so we get prepared. And he comes from this direction. And now we're surprised or stunned, and we don't know what to do. I also shared with you, and God was very clear about this, that the devil was coming in waves. It was going to be one thing after another, after another, after another, because it's designed to wear you out, to make you give up. How many of you ever felt that just no matter what you did, nothing seemed to be going right? I mean, and you start doubting, maybe I miss God. Maybe God doesn't want me to do this. Well, maybe he does. But if you're experiencing that and you're giving into it, you'll never receive what God has for you. See, as I started to tell you before, I like the original Star Trek. But there's one episode in the Star Trek and the Next Generation that I do enjoy. And it happened to be, part of it happened to be on last night, and I didn't see it because I saw one section of it, and then my mind just went in a totally different place. The one I like, you know, in the original Star Trek episode, they had the Klingons and the Romulans were the villains. Well, in the Next Generation, the vicious villain is the Borg. And what made the Borg so formidable is first they would threaten you when they came. I mean, their exact statement was, "We are the Borg. Lower your shields and surrender your ships. Listen to this. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile." That's what they used to say. Okay. And then when you fired your weapons at them, the first time you fired your weapon, you take one out. But you'd fire that same weapon and hit another one, and it kept coming because they would always adapt. And they would change their molecular structure so your weapon wouldn't harm them. And what would happen is you'd see that now the only weapons you have aren't working, and you start saying, resistance is futile. I mean, that's what it is, because this is the Borg. And no one has ever defeated them. Well, the devil tries to operate on that same principle. He knows that God said, resist him and he will flee. So he has to get us to the place where we believe resistance is futile. I know it's futile, but they say futile. Okay. We have to understand that. Because since the enemy is always changing, the way the Borg was defeated is because they figured out how to keep their weapons changing. So they always stayed ahead. Now their weapons were effective because now the Borg didn't know what to do. Look at Romans 12. Because when I saw that, I think I recorded it because I wanted to see the whole episode, but I didn't get to it. Romans 12, first two verses, very familiar. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing, say renewing, of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, notice it didn't say you'll transform if you renew your mind. It said be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, renew means to begin, to take up again, you know, as an acquaintance or a conversation. It means to make effective for an additional period of time, to restore, replenish. It means to make or say again, to recover, to revive, to restore to a former state, or to be restored. All of those are meanings of the word renew. But when you had ing to it, well, that suffix brings it into the present, into the now. Am I right? You educated in the room? All right. A suffix, it forms the present participle of verbs, and it denotes repetition. It means you are always doing this thing right now. Right now. He said, so it says, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That means that's an action that we should be taking right now. And every now, we should be renewing our minds. We should be changing our minds, should be restoring what? All of our knowledge about God. It's taking us to different levels, revealing different things to us, showing us other ways how to handle things, showing us how to get better at operating in faith. So that when the enemy comes, what he does isn't effective to us because we've changed. We're not in that place anymore. We're in another place. But if we don't get in the process of renewing our minds, we stay in the same place. And he knows exactly where we are, and he knows exactly what to do to shake us because we haven't changed. We have to understand that we have to be in the state of renewing our minds. And that there are many reasons why, but God only told me to share these two with you tonight. There are ever-changing conditions in this world. And if we're not firm in our belief, we get caught up in them. We get trapped by them. We, like in Star Trek, They assimilate us. And their culture becomes our culture. And instead of serving God, we wind up serving them. When we're renewing our mind, and we keep renewing our mind and getting these new revelations and new understandings, our spiritual senses get increased and get higher. And we wind up knowing things, and we stay ahead, and we always have the right word, like it says in Proverbs, how good is a, well, let me just read it so I can say it the right way. Proverbs 15, Good News Translation, verse 23 says, "What a joy it is to find just the right word for the right occasion." King James says, "A word spoken in due season, how good it is." Now, all this is available to us because God in his wisdom decided to add ing to renew, to let us know that this is a now thing. You can't sit down and say, "Well, tomorrow I'll work on getting my mind renewed. I know the Bible says renew my mind. I'll get around to it." No, it says renewing. It means you're doing this thing now, right now. Everything that you hear, you're running it through God. What does this mean? Everything you see, you don't come to your own conclusions. "Lord, what is this?" Then you'll start seeing things entirely different than the way it appears to everybody else. Because you'll be in another place. And you'll be in a place where God wants you. Listen to this in the Amplified Bible. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies," listen, "dedicating," that means right now, you dedicate all of yourselves, set apart as living, always active, always alive, a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God. Our lifestyle should always please God. When? Right now. "Which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as far as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing," again, right now, "and always on godly values and ethical attitudes." See, how can we catch an attitude? How can we, you know, speak badly about someone if we're doing that? If we're developing that this God sense and this God knowledge and these God ideas and this God personality, how can anything ungodly come out of our mouths? You know, you do know when you say something against your brother or sister, you're speaking ungodly words. You do know that. And if you keep it up, you'll lose your identity. And you'll wind up being consumed by the culture around you. The Message Bible said, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Oh, I didn't finish this one. "Be not conformed any longer to this world with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you." The Message Bible says, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. "Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to bed, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." So every single day, every moment of the day, we're submitting ourselves as an offering to God. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Remember, the goal of the Borg and the goal of the devil is to get you to adapt to its culture and not the other way around. And if we're not approaching these things with a renewing mind will fall victim. Because you remember the seven sons of Sceva, mentioned very briefly Sunday. They had a level of success casting out demons. But then they met a demon that was a little bit stronger than the other ones they were used to. And this one wasn't moved by what they said, because it knew what was real and what was Memorex. And that's why when they said, "We adjure you by the name of this Jesus whom Paul preaches." I mean, right there, you know they don't know anything about what they're talking about. And the demon says, "Well, let's see. I know Paul," and rub himself, "I know Jesus." Okay. "But who are you?" Okay. And to them, resistance was futile because they got beat out of their clothes and they had to run out of the house. One translation says, beaten and bloody, they got away as best they could, because they weren't renewing their mind. They were trying to profit by doing godly, quote unquote, acts, trying to make a name for themselves. They did. But it's not the name that they wanted. See, so we want to renew our minds so that we can grow with our thoughts and attitudes can change, so that our culture cannot be taken away. The distinctiveness that we have as children of God can't be taken away if we're renewing our minds. Because no matter what comes, you'll always know who you are. You'll always know. And the greater the attack, the greater amount of wisdom will be poured into you before the attack comes. Before it comes. And even if the enemy changes tactics midstream, guess what? God will still keep you two steps ahead of him. If we're renewing our minds, then we are hearing God. We're listening to what he says. And we're responding to his directions right away. Right? The devil could be sending a missile at you this way. God will say, take three steps. And you just, you know, usually we'll say, what? Why do I have to take? It's too late. I mean, that's what we do. God will tell us something. We try and rationalize it out. You say, look, I didn't want to go that way. I don't mind taking three steps, but why can't it be over there? Too late. You got hit. And then the first words out of my mouth is, God, what happened? Why didn't you let me know? He's like, I told you. See, we treat God. We want God to treat us the way we won't allow our children to be. See, when our children would say, why do I have to do this? Was it because I told you? But we want God to sit down and give us a three-hour explanation that we agree with. No, if we are renewing our mind and God speaks and my mind is renewing as he's speaking to me, then I'm moving into obeying him right at that moment. Because right at that moment is when I need to obey. Right at that moment, not 5 minutes later. Right then and there is what's necessary. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll do what? Flee. Run as in terror from you. And so the only shot he has is to get us to stop resisting. Now, one way he gets us to stop resisting him is to get us to start desiring what he has to offer. Because if your desire is strong enough, you'll break through your own resistance because you want it. And you'll give yourself godly reasons as to why it's okay. God said he'd give me the desire of my heart. I desire this. We forget, he said, for those that walk uprightly before him. Because even if you said, I've, usually what I hear is when I'm talking to folks, say, I've been walking uprightly. Okay, that's past tense. What are you doing now? Are you walking uprightly before him now? Yes, I am. Then why are you doubting him? If you're walking uprightly before God right now, you're not doubting him right now. You're believing him right now. Therefore, there's no reason for us to have a conversation because it's done. You believe God. You know he's going to do what he said. You have peace. And you're not concerned with how things look. You're not concerned with what other folks may say. All you're concerned about is, I'm renewing my mind on the Word of God. I am studying His Word. I am meditating on His Word day and night. I'm observing to do everything that I see written in His Word, period. That's what we need to do. The Message Bible talks about James 4, verse 7. Well, it starts at verse 6 here. It said, you're cheating on God if all you want is your own way. Listen to how he puts it. Flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God and his way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud. God gives grace to the willing humble, to those who will humble themselves now, who will always be found humbling themselves before God. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the Master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. The other reason, the CEV says, don't be like people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you'll know how to do everything that's good and pleasing to him. Listen to the expanded Bible. Do not be shaped by, conformed to, press into a mold by this world, this age. Instead, be changed within, transformed by a new way of thinking or changing the way you think. The renewing of your mind. See, renewing our mind will change the way we think. And think about it. When you renew your mind, it changes you. Your vocabulary will change. Your thought process will change. And if you are renewing, mean doing it now all the time, then your thoughts are always going to change from bad to good. Always from ungodly to godly. It says, then you will be able to decide, discern, test, and approve what God wants for you. Is what's God's will for you? You will know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. So we can pull from those passages that renewing our minds, we're pleasing God. Well, Hebrews 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And as I pondered that, I realized that renewing our minds causes us to understand how to operate in faith. And as we learn how to operate in faith all of the time, and without faith it's impossible to please God, we will be pleasing to God all of the time. Because if we are operating in faith, what's going to stop you? Because if you're operating in faith, that means you're a believer. And Jesus said, all things are possible to those who believe. So if you are believing, that means you're actively operating in faith right now. Right now. And that you will continually operate in faith no matter what comes. And that's what's key, folks. Because regardless of the attacks, regardless of the weapon that's being used, you're going to keep going in the direction God pointed you. Oblivious to anything else that's going on. Why? Because you're renewing your mind. You have a different understanding now. You have a different insight. Your spiritual senses are sharper. And when the enemy is trying to get you to stop you from resisting, you keep going. And he winds up understanding that his attempts to resist you, to get you to stop resisting, are futile. Because no matter what happens, you are not going to give in. You're going to keep resisting no matter what, because you have a different understanding. Even if the enemy changes, it doesn't matter if he changes how he comes. It doesn't matter how many times he comes. None of that matters if you're renewing your mind, because you will always be ahead. Always. Didn't God say you're the head, not the tail, or no part in between? You're ahead, period. You win, period. That's all that matters. Who cares what kind of fight it is? You win. Jesus said, I quote this every time I'm in front of you. I know it. Jesus said, he's given us power, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. All of it. All. So if we have power, if he's already given us power, he said, shouldn't that be enough? No. You have to know how to use the power. I mean, the army gave our youngest son this tank. At that time, it was there was no other tank in the world better. Now that I understand, he told me Israel has the best tank in the world. But he didn't know, just because he could drive a car didn't mean he could operate a tank. He had to go into training for months to learn how to become part of that tank. So it's like he was moving with the tank. Well, that's the way we need to be. As spirit beings, we need to learn how to move when God's moving, in the direction that he's moving. We need to know the difference between our spirit and our flesh. We need to know. Usually, I'll give you a little hint. Usually, if it's the flesh, it's something that'll make you feel good, but won't benefit anybody else. That's why when you say, I just have to get this off my chest. Why? Why? And if you do need to get it off your chest, who should you tell? Your father. And not that person. Yeah, but the Bible says if your brother offends you, you go to him. No, the Bible says if your brother offends you, you who are spiritual. That's what it says. You who are spiritual, going to give them a piece of your mind because they offended you, is not spiritual. Okay? At that moment, you need to be renewing your mind So you can be spiritual. And then the words that you speak will cause restoration to occur. Remember, the Bible said we are ambassadors for Christ. Further down, it says that we've been given the word, not only the ministry of reconciliation, but we've been given the word of reconciliation. So that means in any contrary situation, what comes out of my mouth should cause restoration if I'm speaking from a renewed mind. If I'm speaking from an unrenewed mind or a mind that's not constantly renewing, I'm liable to say something else. Just like anybody, I'm not exempt because there's pastor in front of my name. I have to make the same types of choices. I was on the phone. I came in early, as I told you. And I came in because there was something important that I had to get out to a government agency. And I had to get it out right away. So I called the agency and to find out what was it that I needed. They told me. So I go to this online form, and it's not operating. Again, I call the company that put out the form. And they said, oh, well, I can't. You have to call your insurance company, your medical insurance company, to get this particular number. It was a Rx batch number. I don't know what that is, but if I need it, I need it. And so I was on the line with this person on hold for about 35 minutes. They kept coming back. I'm still trying to find it. Then they come back and they say, Pastor, I apologize. I can't get you this information. I have to send you to another department. I'm like, that's fine. I get sent to another department. And when I get sent to that department, the person eventually gets on the phone. I wait about another 15 to 20 minutes. And they got on the phone and they start asking me questions to which I didn't have the answer in front of me because no one told me I needed that information. And they had proceeded to lecture me. I said, it's taken me 16 minutes to give you this information where if you had all the information I needed, it could have been done in a couple of minutes. That's what it is. I'm sitting there, I lean back in my chair, a big smile on my face. And I said, ma'am, just so it's accurate, it wasn't 16 minutes. For me, it's been 2 hours. I said, I gave you the information that the person before you told me was all the information I needed. I said, and I don't have this information in front of me. I said, you, as an employer, you're supposed to have those records. I said, I didn't say I didn't have the records. I don't keep them in my office. I need time to contact our corporate secretary who can get this information for me. But no one told me that I needed that, that would make it easy for you. She said, well, you must be a real good pastor because you're patient. She said to me. And then she says, just in case you need some more information, here's my direct number. And I said, well, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Now, in all through that scenario, I was presented, folks, with choices. And I'm not going to stand in front of you and tell you that my flesh wanted to do some other things. Because I used to have a real issue. I mean, a serious issue being accused of stuff that I didn't do. And so I would not stand still to be told off and I'm innocent. No, that ain't happening here. But that was before my mind was renewed. And see, operating in the flesh doesn't always get you the results you want or expect. I mean, she could have just, I jump ugly, she could just hung up. that I'm calling back and waiting for another 45 minutes to make a connection. You know, because the bottom line is there was a job that I had to do. And all through that time, I am hearing very softly, you operate in love. You operate in love. You operate in love. And so I started thinking, I'm operating in love. I'm operating in love. I'm operating in love. Because at that moment, my mind needed to be restored to, I'm the pastor of a place where the love of God is evident. But see, but that's what I'm talking about. Now, I could have chosen to go another way. But for me, I treat things as if I have no choice. As far as I'm concerned, his schemes are going to fall ineffective against me. You need to make them ineffective against you. And you do that by doing the word. Not just hearing it, but doing it. In James 1, verse 22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Then it says something else. Deceiving yourselves. See, when we purpose not to do the word, then we purpose not to be renewing our minds, and we wind up deceiving ourselves. Because if we're not renewing our minds, we've already thought my mind isn't renewed enough. I don't need to do any more renewing. And because you're deceiving, you wind up getting yourself in trouble, getting into a bind. And then you have to repent, or you'll be assimilated by the world and you'll start adapting to its culture. See, that's one of the reasons why we don't react to social issues. It's not that we don't know that they're there. It's not that we don't have feelings about them. We do. But we want them to be settled. And the way the culture, the worldly culture is doing it, is not settling. It's the opposite. It's very unsettling. So what we've chosen to do is get God's wisdom on how he wants us to proceed, and then that's the way we proceed. Period. You know, it's not that we don't care, it's that we do care. But look at verse 23. And this is so critical, folks. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. When we're not renewing our minds, we forget who we are in Christ. Instantly. In a situation, have you ever been in a situation where someone did something, well, simple. You're driving down, this one worked with everybody. You're driving down the street, someone cuts you off. What goes through your mind? Don't tell me, I don't want to hear those words. But you think about what you want to say or the gesture you'd like to make. Well, if you're not renewing your mind, sooner or later, you're going to shout out those words, or you're going to make those gestures. And you're going to try and spiritualize it by saying, yeah, and I got righteously indignant. How can you be righteously indignant? Either you're righteous or you're indignant. I mean, you can't be righteously indignant. And you're not pleasing God. But a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. If folks, in our ever-changing, listen to this, in our ever-changing conditions in this world, if we are not firm in our belief, if we're not sure of our position, we'll stumble and fall. If we're not renewing our minds, our thoughts, and our attitudes, we'll begin to adapt to the culture around us. That culture will take away our distinctiveness as children of God, and we'll become one of them. And then resisting the devil will be futile. Why is that? Because we're now one of them. But renewing our minds pleases God. It causes us to always walk by faith and not by sight. It causes us to understand how to operate in faith. And it causes us to understand now, not later. We understand what we need to understand right now. Because now is when we need it. We don't just obey. We're found to be obeying. We don't pray. We're always found praying. We're always found loving. We're meditating. We're always thinking about the word. We're always praising. We're always singing. We're always dancing. We're always shouting. And we're doing those things now. Because we're renewing our minds. You have to add the ing, folks. Otherwise, it won't mean a thing. And you'll find yourself going through motions. Or as they say, talking loud, saying nothing. It's an ing thing. We have to bring our words. We have to bring God's words into the now. That's one of the things that I enjoy about the One New Man Bible that my wife gave me. Because from the Jewish perspective, when they're talking about God and what God does, they're always talking about it in the now. Not, that's why it says, if you believe what's happening is happening. Not it will happen. No, you said it. Yes, you believe it. Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. Everyone say, I will always be about renewing my mind. That's all we have to do, folks. That's all we have to do so that, to us, resistance is fruitful and not futile. I'm done. I'm finished. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory, the honor. We give you the praise. We thank you, Lord. We had some fun. We had a good time talking about it, but your truth shot through it all. Lord, we understand that our relationship with you, that our assimilation of the word, that our renewing of our minds is a now thing. And it's a continuing action. We're doing it now and always. Every moment, every situation, that connection between us is never broken, never blocked, never crimped, always free-flowing. So that in any situation, under any conditions, we hear clearly how we're to respond. Not act, how we're to respond. And we know that we'll always respond based on your perfect will for our lives. And the world will see that and come to ask how we can do it and open up the door so that we can share Christ with them. See, we understand, Father, that it's all about winning souls. And we're not going to win souls unless we walk around renewing our minds. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.